Dark Emu was a book I wrote because, like the first history I wrote, Convincing Ground, I wasn't satisfied with the history I'd been taught in school, and it seemed to me that apart from a few people like Henry Reynolds, there wasn't much being written that reflected the real experience of Aboriginal people in the last 220 years. I felt, even though I'm a fiction writer, I thought, gee, I really want to write a history about what actually happened to our people. And in Dark Emu, after I'd written Convincing Ground, I felt that there was a whole other story about the Aboriginal economy at contact. There was evidence coming out in the reading I was doing and what Aboriginal people were telling me, that in early period, Aboriginal people were actually harvesting grain. There's plenty of evidence of that. Making bread, the first people in the world to make bread by 15,000 years. And extensive yam pastures, some of which stretched to the horizon, and people working on these agricultural activities were living in towns, sometimes of 1,000 strong, building substantial houses, and the history didn't reflect that. The history said that we were hunters and gatherers, and I couldn't equate what the explorers saw, because I only used explorers' journals, what they saw with what I'd been taught in school. And unfortunately, you have to reach the conclusion that that history was hidden from Australians, both black and white, simply in order to justify taking the land away and later the children, and then making us beg for, you know, the scraps off the table.
From when you talk about that history of the explanation of Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people, just the hunter and gatherer thing, but, you know, obviously, you know, people live in their families like everyone else. So these ancient sort of systems and some of the really ancient sort of agricultural systems that we're, you know, sort of seeing evidence of now, even with the eel traps and some of those really old huts that have been built. It's really interesting to kind of try and imagine, you know, large communities all living together, because everything's been so, I guess, fractured or displaced.
Those old people who designed the system 70,000 years ago, or whenever it was, they were incredibly wise, and no other people on earth have ever constructed a system which didn't rely on war and taking land from other people. Most other civilizations last 2,000 years, if that, and that includes, you know, the pharaohs and all of those people. Most European nations are done and dusted in a few hundred years. And yet Aboriginal people created a system which young people embraced. Young people saw the sense in the system and maintained it. So it was such a fair system that people wanted to be part of it. And to create a system of that sophistication and based on a premise of peace meant those old people were genuine social engineers. They created a system which the rest of the world ought to envy, and it's our job to tell that story, because the world needs peace, and it also needs, you know, proper use of resources and respect for the resources. Our culture tells us that we have to love the earth, we have to ask permission to take a tree, to take a fish, to take a kangaroo, whereas the rest of the world sees overconsumption as their right and their expectation. It's about time people realise that in this country it wasn't a primitive system at all. It was highly sophisticated, and it's, you know, the world needs to really look at how our old people saw the world.
Interesting, because you've obviously won this award over the same fortnight where, you know, it hit the news around the discovery of those stone axes up in the Kimberley region, where they're dating, you know, back very complex sort of technologies and very ancient technologies. So, I mean, you know, the proof's there. And obviously, because Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander history and those old people date back so far, that those systems, you know, when they did travel across the lands and over, you know, over the waterways as well, those systems would have been traded in and weaved in through other cultures as well.
That's right. And it's amazing that, you know, we find the edge ground axe last Monday, was it? And yet, an American archaeologist said this in 1970, and he was laughed out of the country. That man was Norman Tyndale. People scoffed at him. He said that Aboriginal people were the leaders in stone tool technology in the world. Mm. Australian academics, in large, laughed at him. And yet now the evidence is there that this axe is the oldest axe in the world. And it's about time that we stopped resisting this information. And, you know, last year we discovered, or the archaeologists discovered, that one of our grinding dishes to grind grain into flour was at least 34,000 years old, and that makes us the oldest bakers in the world by 15,000 years. This is an incredible achievement of Aboriginal people, and yet our country grudgingly admits this in 2015. It's time we gave credit to the system that those old geniuses devised.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay, and I'm speaking with Bruce Pascoe, author of Dark Emu and winner of the 2016 New South Wales Premier's Literary Awards for Book of the Year and Indigenous Writers Prize. Your book's not only an educational tool, but it also, you know, for people who are trying to design a sort of a more stable future for their families, it might be a really great resource for people to sort of take themselves back to that.
It's going to be a really exciting period in modern Australian history as we begin to find out more and more about these plants. And it is happening. It's happening at Corranderk. It's happening at Jigamy in Eden. It's happening up at Narooma. It's happening at Berry. People involved in their culture and rediscovering these wonderful plants, because they're plants that our old people adapted to Australian conditions. They don't need a lot of water. They don't need a lot of fertiliser. They're good for our soils. These are going to be commercial products. But I just hope Australia remembers where they came from and not just picks them up, turns them into an exotic, you know, bush tucker, and takes them off us again. You know, these plants belong to us. We'll never be able to copyright them, because Monsanto, they'll take that away from us. But we in this country, we Australians, black and white, can say, look, we're always going to remember that these plants are treasures of this land, and they come from the mother. Aboriginal people work with the mother to produce them, and we're going to honour that forever in this country. And, you know, all this talk about reconciliation and closing the gap, Aboriginal people don't need to close any gaps. We need to close the gap in white knowledge about Aboriginal Australia. That'd be a great gap to close.
And can I ask why you named the book Dark Emu?
There's a shape in the sky of the emu. My army left the earth, and there are representations of that in our art on rocks all around the region. My army, the emu, in that particular phase of his life, left the earth and became a shape in the sky. And the moon's up now, but when the moon's not around, you can see it very clearly. He's near the, you know, the constellation Europeans called Scorpio. Mm. And the emu is very important to Aboriginal people, because he too was a grain eater. And so that is an important feature of our life, because that is part of our creation story. So, I called it that because I wanted an Aboriginal idea to be the title. And I dedicated the book to Australians, all Australians, not just Aboriginal Australians. But I really see the book as belonging to Aboriginal people, because so many Aboriginal people helped me write the book, provided information, but also provided the authority to do it. I've got maybe 20 people around the country who have always been great guides and advisors to me, all elders. Some of them are no longer with us, unfortunately. But those people gave me the authority to write the book, and urged me to write the book, because it told a story that they knew was our true story. You know, there's nothing wrong with hunters and gatherers and things like that, because our people did take advantage of some of the plants like that. But we also were highly involved in looking after the earth, and our way of looking after the earth was to grow things, but we didn't flog the earth. You know, we didn't take all the water out of a river. We didn't flog the ground until it was sterile and had to be fertilised again. We looked after it, and those old people who have been my support, you know, and inspiration all along, that this is their story. This is their book. Pay my respects to Tiger Bale and David Page, who are no longer with us. They've been very important people in my life too.